Hello, I'm Jeremy Rivera, your unscripted host, and I'm here with Carrie McGee. Let's learn a little bit about her today. What would you say you do here, Carrie?
Well, I am a real estate agent and broker. In Washington State, all agents are brokers, and so it makes it sound like we're really impressive when in fact we're just regular real estate agents. But I've been selling real estate here in the Tri-Cities area of Washington since 2004. So I've seen a lot come and go throughout the years.
I would imagine that the journey of a realtor coming from 2004 to now, when it comes to digital, is quite an evolution. So, you know, I started at a real estate website hosting company called Advanced Access in 2007. And in those days, you know, this was pre-WordPress. Their sites were terrible. It was just basically 50,000 nested tables just to get the logo in the top right corner. And we had our templates that we made that were basically all just a giant table. So where did you start on that side of things, and how has the progression of technology shifted your relationship with clients or shifted your ability to do your job as a realtor?
Well, from the very beginning, I always had a website, and I was really lucky to always have a website that was branded specifically to me. It wasn't certainly back in the early days of like 2004 or 5, 6. Most agents didn't have a website. If they had a website, they had it through their brokerage. And it was very much just a standalone page with their name, their picture. But it was part of a larger kind of web presence of the brokerage or the local office of the brokerage. And I was always lucky to have my own because my husband does that sort of thing. And so he created CarrieMcGee.com, which I'm so lucky to have been able to snag my name as my domain name. And I didn't also try anything like Realtor Carrie or, you know, Carrie Real Estate for You or anything like that. It's just my name, very simple. And so I really definitely had an advantage from the very beginning because I've had a web presence from pretty much day one.
Yeah. I mean, getting grandfathered in kind of on the whole digital age is a huge advantage. And I mean, the fact that you're still standing is very much a testimony to your position in real estate, because the reality is that in most brokerages, it's 1 to 3 years is the average lifespan of a realtor. So kudos for the win, for the survival.
Thank you. What?
So you've always had a website, but now we've got a proliferation almost kind of out of just a website. And now we've got kind of these walled gardens, you know, Instagram, TikTok, and X, you know, Twitter, LinkedIn, all are kind of their own mini ecosystems. Are there any that you have worked in the past that you or have adopted and found, oh, this is where the audience is now? How do you view that approach to digital? Is it, you know, try to be everywhere? Is it find one where you can be like a powerhouse? Or do you see it as like arms of an octopus all pulling it back to your site? What's your view on it?
For me, because in 2004 there was no real social media. There was, I think, probably MySpace, but I'm out of that demographic and that age range, so that's never something that I dabbled in. But when Facebook came along, which for me was, I think, 07, 08 was my first Facebook post. That was real. I was like, this, I have found my people. This is, you know, my milieu. I am absolutely going all in on this. Twitter, I didn't love as much. I am on Twitter. I am on TikTok. I am on Instagram. I have a presence on all those places, but where you will really find me putting most of my efforts for the last, since 2008, really, has been Facebook. And that's, I find it best to go where you're like, you know, you probably have heard the thing where they talk about there was like a, not a meme, but like a chart of what kind of person responds to which kind of social media, right? And like Twitter is for, you know, this kind of person, and Instagram is for this kind of person. And Facebook was just, like I said, the minute I walked in, I was like, But the minute I joined, I was like, these are my people. And this is, I'm a little bit wordy. I'm a little bit of a talker. So Facebook allowed me to have the extra character, you know, driven narratives that I love to do. I love to write. And so I would write on their longer stories. And so even before pictures were allowed on Facebook, the narratives I would share really helped get everything to where it needed to go. So, I mean, I think that the best course of action is to find a social media platform that you just really get and love, have a presence on the others, but just go all in on whatever it is that is appealing to you.
So it sounds like you have a grasp on like the storytelling as marketing. And what would one of those stories be that you're sharing that you're finding, like maybe one in the past few years that's really resonated or really like led to a specific business? Like what was one of those stories?
There was a couple that I was helping sell their house, and I had helped them buy the house like about, I think, 10 years earlier. And then, as sometimes marriages do, theirs was falling apart and they were getting a divorce, and I had to sell their home so that they could go do other things with their lives. And I mean, they had two children. So, and they had, like I said, lived there for 10 years. They were the original owners. And so it was just a really bittersweet moment, right? I was glad that they had called me in. And a lot of people, especially like in all the television shows and everything like that, they make it sound like, you know, like, you know, deals and heels and, you know, here's this penthouse and, you know, blah, 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 blah. And, oh, my investor was flying in from China this morning and I should, you know, it's like, okay, for the vast majority of us, that is not how real estate is. And for the vast majority of us as well, we are in these very critical moments with people that we are guiding them through heartbreaking events. Sometimes you need to sell a house because someone's passed away and you can't have that memory there. Sometimes you're selling a house because of a divorce. Sometimes you're selling a house because you have twins and you thought you were just going to have a singleton and all of a sudden you need more room. I mean, right? So there's all kinds of reasons, both good and bad, but no one really thinks about the bad, not that I want them to, but what I did is for this particular couple, as they were coming in to sign, they came in the same car to the signing. They embraced in front of the car before they walked in. And that, I'm going to get choked up. That picture, just that, oh my God, Jeremy, it just told 1,000 words in that, you know, in that embrace. And so I took the picture, I posted it, and I just said, this is what we're privy to as real estate agents, these heartbreaking moments of couples who, you know, we have to sell the house, blah, 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 blah. Oh my gosh, Jeremy, like everybody jumped on that. Because even if you haven't been divorced, you've been through a breakup in all likelihood. You've encountered a moment in your life where dreams are dying all around you, right? And in posting that picture and telling the story in the right way around it, oh my gosh, everybody just jumped on that. Like other fellow realtors were like, oh my gosh, absolutely, this is what we go through, etc. And then other people who knew the couple, and I had done it where you couldn't see their faces. So, I mean, it was really expertly shot, but people though who knew who it was, you know, they were like, oh my gosh. And then people who like I said, the people that I really wrote the story for, which is the average person who is watching the TV shows and doesn't realize what we do on the day to day. Like that really was a learning moment for everybody. And they said, oh my gosh, I didn't think about it until you posted this, Carrie, that this that you're involved in the nitty gritty too. Like, it's not all, you know, balloons and closing and champagne corks popping. You got the house, right? There's so much more to it.
Yeah, there is definitely, it's kind of marketing out of the cliche, you know, and like, you know, there's always a billboard that comes to mind of a realtor, and her tagline was, "Everything she touches turns to sold instead of gold."
Yep.
And, you know, I think you're hitting on it, that there's an authenticity there that people are hungry for, and that mm-hmm. if you, like, there's so much pull to the saccharine and to the, you know, oh, smiling people shaking hands image, mm-hmm. that, you know, there is an aspect to the role of somebody in the house buying process who's a realtor, because you're facilitating a very large life event for most yes. couples, for married couples, most people, you know, it's something that is usually happening once, maybe twice in their lifetime. And, you know, the cliches kind of can wear a little bit thin.
Yes.
So, As a realtor with longevity, is it about connection to your community and tying in and partnering with different businesses that's led to a lot of your success? Or is it about creating connection with your clients and building a reputation among the people, or both?
Well, it's kind of both. This year in particular, we've decided to really focus more on local businesses and interacting with local businesses for a particular rewards program that we offer. We have the Carrie McGee Rockstar Rewards Program. And if you when you buy or sell with us, or we refer anyone to us, or if somebody were to ask you on the street, "Hey, who's your realtor?" and you were to say Carrie McGee, so you haven't bought, sold, or referred, but you still view me as your agent, you can be a member of the Rockstar Rewards program. And what we do for Rockstar Rewards is every month we have giveaways, we have events, we have coffee coupons, we have all kinds of things where I'm in front of them every month, reminding them, "Hey, I exist and I care about you. I didn't just sell you this house or sell your house and forget about you. I am there with you in, again, for the nitty gritty, for the awful moments and for the great moments, and for the moments where, you know, I don't know what to do. Carrie, I need, you know, this repair. Who do you recommend? Mm-hmm. Carrie, I, you know, need to get this taken care of at the house before we sell. Who do you recommend?" And even if I'm not going to be, for whatever reason, part of that transaction, I'm still with them, helping them know more, and helping them get the info they need from local contractors, local lenders, local people who will get everything we need, because that just helps enhance your community. The more local people you get involved doing things for other local people, it just makes everybody richer.
I like that, because one of the things with a home is it's a very long transaction funnel, you know, like from the first time that they might have done a Google search, like, what do I even need to buy a home? How do I, you know, evaluate my credit score? There's so many pieces of information you have to gather to get there. So it would make sense from your perspective as a business to find ways to show up on their radar, on their be a touch point, be a connection to other resources, and, you know, certainly doing that for, you know, their, who turns out to be their neighbor, or is going to reap the long-term rewards, which seems kind of opposite of a lot of marketing strategies out there, of always looking to just reach a new audience, you know, like,
exactly.
"Oh, I want to create blog content so I can reach people who I've never talked to before." Like, well, what about creating content that's community centric that's going, you know, be something that's not going to sell a home right now, but, you know, is going to help them maintain their home now. And so when time comes, they have a reason to come back to you.
Well, exactly. I mean, we all know as business people that the cost of obtaining a new client is much more expensive than the cost of keeping an existing client. And having an existing client reach out to you again is much less expensive. Not to mention, I'm in it for the relationship. I'm in it to make sure that I'm not a one and done. I mean, I want them to come back to me, not because I'm needy or codependent, but because I did an amazing job. And I want them to know that they're now in my space. Like, I consider you part of my sphere. Let's go, you know, do you need help in anything that I can help you with? You need contractor names, you need lender names, you need the best place to get your hair cut, all of those kinds of things. Most real estate agents know those things. Most real estate agents are really tied into their communities because they've lived there for years. They know everybody who's done everything, right? But unless you share that information with your clients, then it's dead information. Why would you just kind of keep it in the vault? and so I'm all about the relationships, and I'm all about sharing the knowledge I have, because again, that just enriches everybody. One thing I always tell people, this doesn't happen as much anymore, but certainly in about 07, 08, before the first crash that I experienced, or financial crisis in that mid 2000 time, people would come to me and they say, I'd like to buy a house. I'm pre-approved with this internet lender, right? You know, like mortgages.com or whatever. And I'm like, okay. And it only takes one of those deals, Jeremy, to understand that the email that it's written on is not, I mean, that email with the pre-approval letter, it is not worth anything. Because this is just somebody sitting behind a computer going, okay, yep, we got you pre-approved, right? But when it comes down to it, they're not pre-approved at all.
Yeah.
And people will say, well, I really like this rate, or I really like what they did for me, and so I want to stick with this lender. That lender is never going to see you at the grocery store. That lender is never going to be pumping the gas in the car next to you at the gas station, right? And so they screw up for you. They make this deal die. They don't care. They're never going to see you again. But myself and the right. Exactly. Myself, the local lenders that I refer clients to, those are the ones who you might see at the grocery store. You might see at our local minor league ball game. You might be like, oh my gosh. And if they screw up, if I screw up for you, I don't want to be going through the store like this, right? I want to be like, oh my gosh, hey, you know, Abe, how's the house? That kind of stuff. I don't want anyone to skulk around a corner because they don't want to see me because I screwed it up for them. And I don't want them to not get the house they want because they're using some internet lender.
Yeah.
Local, 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 local.
I'm impressed. I would have gone that's number three. Unique New York. Unique New York. So there's a lot of evolution in terms of technology and capability. It sounds to me like you're making an effective argument that while ChatGPT can synthesize information and pull larger context and perhaps be useful as a tool, experientially, it sucks.
Absolutely. Right. I understand its value and its uses, and it will get better over time. Pretty soon, it will probably be like sitting down talking to your best friend. But at this point, it is not there. And at this point, we are feeding it what it needs to get better. Skip the middleman and go talk to a person who right now can help you get that information you need, and who can, I mean, there are people that need you to hold their hand and say, this is step one. This is step two. This is step three. Fantastic. Way to go. We did it. Now we're here. And technology doesn't do that for you at this point.
Right. That's true. It can spit out a list, but then, you know, actually empathizing and being able to read your facial expression as you read it and see, like, okay, they did not get that at all.
Right. Well, exactly. And speaking of facial expressions, just, I mean, this is not, it's kind of a little rabbit trail, but during COVID, we had to, you know, when we had to wear masks, and the showing restrictions in Washington State is if I was showing a couple a home, I would go in with one member of the couple and we would look at the house. And then I would go, they would go outside, and then the other member of the couple would go in. So it was only ever two people in a house at one time. So
wow,
we would do that. And until that moment, and that had been 15, 16 years, I'd been selling real estate at that point, I had not realized how often I looked at couples to see the nonverbal clues they were giving each other walking through houses. About whether this was the house, whether this was good, whether this was bad. To go in one by one like that, they couldn't bounce anything off each other. And even if they could, I wouldn't have been able to see it because right. They had masks on. So it was fascinating to me to for the first time in my career, see how nonverbal communication told me so much about my job and helped me assist my clients in such a tremendous way. And I had never even realized it before.
Yeah, I think that's true. I mean, there's, it's an underappreciated aspect of almost any position or business that has interaction or should had interaction, but you know, now a lot of things are remote. Some things are completely remote, but there is that situational, like, oh, they get kind of tense. Like, I know my wife's face when she's, like, not happy with something but isn't going to say that she's not happy with something.
Exactly.
Oh, that's very nice. She doesn't like nice. She doesn't want nice. She wants awesome.
Right.
She wants beautiful. She wants killer. Like, oh, that's right. Nice. Look at that. Look at that.
Exactly. Exactly.
Knowing those cues, it's interesting because realtors have such a human role in a big transaction. You know, that's fascinating to me, like that human aspect to it. And you know, I'm deep in search engine optimization and using multiple different tools, and I often tell my clients or other SEOs that we need to go back to the well, that we need to go back and do that interview and talk to our potential clients. One of my previous interviews, Keith Brise, he talked about the, he called it the people first framework. And he would suggest, hey, go and interview one of your clients, ask them, how would they sell it? And then once they do that, ask them again and say, how would you sell it to your grandma? So when it comes to, you know, connecting, you know, that marketing piece, how do you keep that human touch?
I think it's important to really view it through the client's eyes in both generationally and personality-wise. And I think that's the critical key point about human interaction as opposed to computer or AI interaction, is that I can read somebody at a glance. I kind of know instinctively almost how they're going to take my information. For example, of the four personality types of driver, influencer, conscientious, and the S one, whatever, steadiness, I think, on the DISC profile, like, people will kind of almost, they broadcast almost what they are in your first conversation with them. Sometimes drivers, you know, immediately, because they're like, hey, how much is this house? right? Like, how much is this house? What can I get it for? Right? And whereas an influencer is going to say, oh my God, I love this color in here. This is amazing. I can throw so many great parties here, right? Mm-hmm. And then the C personality is going to say, well, now, if we offer X and then they counter back with that, that's an additional $14.92 in monthly payments. I'm not sure we can swing that, right? And then the S type is, you know, whatever you want, dear. And they're just much more supportive in that way. And so within just a couple conversations with people, you know what kind of personality type they are. And that immediately helps you know how to approach them, what they're going to want to hear from you. Like a driver, which is the D, is not going to care about what I'm going to care about. Like I'm a high I, which is like, woohoo, you know, the party people. Let's go. Let's, you know, oh, I love these colors. And, you know, oh, this patio is great for entertaining. Like the driver doesn't care. The driver is like, how do I get this house? And the S is like, does my spouse like it? Does my partner like it? And the C is like, what's it going to cost me? And each of those people, I'm going to direct my conversation in a different way. And I'm going to sell to each of them in a different way, which is also generationally, too. So you factor in an older driver or a younger C, right? However they are generationally and personality-wise, within a couple sentences, I can usually figure out what they are and how to approach them to get the most effective communication across.
That's interesting, because I had a conversation with Mark Williams Cook, who made the Also Asked tool, which it mines into those people also ask queries. And we got into the concept. He pointed out that what type of query you put in impacts the people also ask entries, because like if you're a starter, like if you're, let's take it to car dealers, you know, like you're buying a car in Queens and you're like, okay, I need a red car. You know, that's very different than I need an eight, you know, a four cylinder that's got, you know, all wheel drive, you know, or I have this budget limitation. So there's that experience aspect. But I think you're hitting on something that maybe in digital marketing we hadn't thought of as much, which is personality type. And we're writing similar content, assuming everybody's personality is the same. But
exactly,
maybe we should be taking this on the digital marketing side and applying some of those lessons. I know more of the Myers-Briggs, like the ENTP type of model. I'm not familiar with the DISC as much, but you kind of laid it out. He's like, oh, this personality type. So take your favorite personality test and maybe back it up to your content marketing plan and say, hey, am I providing to my customers who are coming to, you know, buy, you know, my car and, you know, Queens car dealership, am I pointing anything that's useful for somebody who's a stickler for detail? Or am
100%.
Or am I not writing something enthusiastically? You know, like, let's try to stage out and not write with the same tone every single time, or and create content that might resonate with people of different personality types. I love that.
Well, good. I mean, because here's the DISC profile thing kind of in a nutshell, too. This is the easiest way to remember it. Imagine you've got four people waiting for an elevator. Mm-hmm. Okay. The driver is pushing that button, even though everybody else has already pushed it, even though he's already pushed it. He needs to get in that elevator, choppa choppa, let's move it. Right. The eye, when you get in the elevator, is looking around, oh my gosh, you're going to the fifth floor? Oh, that's where the pool is. You're going to have so much fun. I was at the pool yesterday and I was there with my best friend. We haven't seen each other in 20 years, but we've stayed in touch. You know, like the I is just going to be talking. The S is going to, somebody, you know, they hear somebody down the hall say, hold the elevator. The S holds the elevator. And the C, meanwhile, is quiet. They're looking up at the maximum weight limit. They're judging how much everybody in the elevator weighs, and they're trying to make sure that they're going to make it to the level that they want to get to. So, I mean, that's how each personality type is. And I think if you could find a way to even maybe if people self-selected, right? Like wherever you are you a D? click here. Are you an I? Click here, right? Because then, again, for your Queen's car dealership, the I is going to be like, picture yourself driving down the highway, wind flowing through your hair, right? Mm-hmm. And the D is going to be like, you know, how soon can I get it? And the C is going to be, say, what's the gas mileage? How much does it cost for me to own this car, right? And right. the S is like, okay. does it get me where I need to go to help people? So I think that that's, you know, absolutely, you could absolutely utilize personality in digital marketing if you could figure out a way.
I love that. I love that. I'm wondering how that applies to, like, a shift between, I call it nexus, because, like, when you're in real estate, everything's connected to the home, right? You know, you've got home mm-hmm. inspectors and house and flooring, and people coming into that situation are very much, you know, in the home mindset. What if it's commercial, like on the commercial real estate side of things? Is it a totally different breed of animal, or is it not that different?
It is different. So much so that I don't really even dabble in it because I know it's out of my range for what I can do well. But again, if we go back to that personality type kind of thing we were just talking about, in business / commercial ventures like that, you're going to find so many more drivers and so many more C's. And the eyes are pretty much non-existent because no business person wants somebody to walk in and say, oh, do you see the vision? Oh my God, I love it, right? No, they want, how much is it going to cost me? Can I get it tomorrow? Right? Mm-hmm. All of those things. And so that's, commercial is just going to, it's going to go to a different type of person who's looking for a commercial property or who's going to use a commercial property for the purposes you use commercial for, whereas residential is completely different.
No, that's fascinating, though, like the difference between commercial real estate and residential. But it, you're right, there is an echo of it, but it's kind of a filter down effect, too. Like, it's more rarefied.
Exactly.
And you're going to have, in that business situation, people of a certain disposition leading that charge, being in that role.
Exactly. And commercial is really cool because it tends to be Monday through Friday, 9 to 5, and you make a ton of money when you sell / lease anything. Like it is where the big money is and it is the 8 to 5 sort of thing. So, I mean, or 8 to 5 Monday through Friday sort of thing. So, I mean, in that way, definitely advantageous. But again, that's going to appeal to a different kind of person than residential real estate will appeal to.
That's fascinating, you know, and also thinking, you know, how that reflects in what type of content marketing, you know, the cynical side is always like, oh, well, you know, I can target a particular job type on LinkedIn and reach them through those ads. But it also would be good to consider their personality type when you're writing those ads and thinking about what list of, you know, are you going to load this with details? Is this going to be an emotional pitch? You know, that might be more or less effective to write copy that way. So kind of a good way to fracture it is to kind of understand the personality and influence on the role that they're inhabiting and then your role in interacting with them.
Well, I mean, and here's another example. When my husband and I bought our most recent home 13 years ago now, next month, my oldest child and myself were just enthralled with the house. I'm a high I, like I said. My oldest child is an S, which is more steady. Kind of, again, if we're going to really take this to the nth degree, if we compare the DISC style to animals, the D is a lion, the I is the otter, the S is the golden retriever, and the C is the badger or beaver. So the lion, right? Otters are all about playing. S, the golden retriever speaks for itself. And then, you know, beavers, industrious, get it done. Let's build our dams in this very particular way. And so buying this house, my oldest and I were like, oh my gosh, we love this house. This is going to be great. And I'll do this and I'll put this there and I'll blah, 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 blah. Whereas my husband and our youngest is kind of a CS, and my husband is a SC, or excuse me, a CS as well. They were like, where's the fence? We need to corral the dog. How much is this going to cost? And is this really practical for these matters, right? And so you just appeal to different personality types. And again, when I read any web page that's trying to sell me something, or if I'm looking at an ad, right, they track the eye movements of how people read and what people look at. And I mean, I'm just going to go for certain words. I'm going to look for fun or happy or joyful or whatever. And I'm going to look for a picture maybe full of colors that make me excited, right? But my husband is going to be scanning that same ad, and he's going to be like, you know, what's the bottom line? Tell me, you know, what are the numbers? What's it going to cost me? What, you know, where does this peg fit in this hole? How do we get that squared away?
That makes sense. So one more question is seasonality. Obviously, like, if you're selling sailboats, you know, you're going to have a hard time doing so in the middle of winter. So how do you handle seasonality in your business? I know, obviously, the home buying cycle is a longer cycle, but I do know there are some seasonal influences, peaks and lows. So how does that factor into, staying alive as a realtor?
Right.
Long enough to be able to handle more than just one season.
Right. Well, there's a couple of aspects to it. What I have noticed for me personally, say I sell 30 houses in a year, 20 will be sold between April and October, and the other 10 will be sold November through March. That's generally how my business goes. I have 6 months of more business and 6 months of less business. I know that that's happening. And so I don't necessarily freak out in November where I'm like, I just had all this business. Now, where did it go? I know that it's cyclical. I know it will come back. I know that spring will bring people sniffing around. I know it. It always happens. So knowing for you and tracking for you what your stuff is, that's the best. Lots of people, though, will, and agents especially will do this, they'll get themselves into a limiting mindset where they're like, oh, it's the holidays. No one's looking at the holidays. I'm just going to take this time off. Okay, well, in real estate, what you do today shows up in 30, 60, 90 days later. Right? So you take off the month of December because it's dead. Well, then you're super duper hurting in February and March of the next year.
Right.
And so you have to not fall into that, because there are still houses being sold in November, December, January. And you have to continue to keep yourself up for that, knowing that the business is there. It's up to you to go get it and not tell yourself a story that it's not there, because it is there.
Interesting. Yeah. So it's not that, you know, just take the time off, but that just being aware of those business cycles annually, there's just, you know, seasonal impacts. More people are looking. It's much easier to view a home in spring than in winter. Also, finances, you know, are much tighter for most families around December as they, you know, pay for expensive parties.
Lots of first timers will get their tax return in or their tax, you know, rebate in April, May. And then, you know, they're ready to start going and looking then. So different things all year long contribute to different things. So you just have to keep that in mind. One thing, though, I told a friend years ago, she was kind of bummed. And she's like, oh, I don't know, Carrie. It's just nothing's happening and everything. And I said, listen, you're Julia Roberts waiting for her next excellent role to be offered to her. And that just helped her. She was like, I am. I'm Julia Roberts. I'm waiting for my next role. I'm like, Julia Roberts does not sit at home going, oh, I hope people will send me something. I hope I'm going to work again. Julia Roberts knows she's amazing. Julia Roberts knows she's going to have another offer very soon. And so you have to believe that about yourself too. You're like, you know what? I'm just waiting for the next deal. It's coming. I'm doing my, I've I've put in my work. I'm continuing to do my work. The business is coming my way.
That's amazing. Speaking of bringing business your way, let's go ahead and give you a chance to plug give the full name of your company, any projects you're working on. You said people, you hang out on Facebook. How can people find and connect with Carrie McGee?
Well, CarrieMcGee.com is my website, and you can contact me there, of course. I am the owner / leader of the Carrie McGee Real Estate team at RE/MAX Northwest in Tri-Cities, Washington. And the Tri-Cities are Kennewick, Pasco, and Richland, but that also includes West Richland and Burbank and Benton City and all the areas in that southeastern Washington area. I would say that probably the best place to get started would be my website, because that will direct you to everywhere else.
Okay. Thank you so much for your time and for your insights, and may you sell many homes.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that, Jeremy.
Bye.
Bye. Thanks.